Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to be speaking with Jenny Dinnan, president of the market research firm McKinsey Corporation, to discuss the importance of market research in today's competitive world. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get started, why don't you tell the audience about yourself and about your company?
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, McKinsey Corporation, thank you. McKinsey Corporation, we're a family-run business. We've been around for 32 years, I believe, in the customer experience space. So really taking data and understanding, helping, empowering customers to figure out who their customers are, how to find more of them, how to stay in touch with them.
Okay.
It's a fun space to be in, and research is a big part of our business.
Yeah, absolutely. So we met about a month or so ago, maybe,
yep.
and we are kindred spirits when it comes to market research. So I'm personally really glad you're here today, because I think we're going to try to solve the world's problems
and convince
all those people listening out there, you out there in Facebook land and radio land, how important market research is. But before we get started,
yes,
I'm going to ask you two questions.
Okay. Ready.
Okay. So you're now the president of McKinsey Corporation.
Yes.
So when you think about growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
Oh, man. I was looking at your questions before. So first, I'm co-president of McKinsey Corporation. So the reason why I say that, too, so my twin sister and I run the business, which is fun. So I think different things keep us up at night. So
okay.
I run the sales and marketing part of the business. She runs the internal operations part of the business. But one of the things really... I mean, so many things keep me up at night besides my 4-year-old and 7-year-old daughter and dog puppy. But, you know, in having a family business that's been around for 30 years, what truly, you know, I think of the specific things that kind of keep me up at night and different things, but really wanting to make sure that we're honoring the company that our dad started.
Okay.
This is not a short-term play for us. We want to make sure that we are building this into something that we're proud for the next generation, right, to be able to have. I think a really big thing is, like I said, honoring what he did before. And in 30-some years ago, if you think about the data analytics space, the market research space, so different than where it is today.
Yeah,
we'll get into that. But at the core of it, though, it still is empowering companies to leverage the data that they have, connect with their customers, find more of them. So I want to make sure that we're honoring who we were to start with, but I want to make sure that we're innovating our company in this crazy, expansive, rapidly changing world that we're in. So I say some days it's extremely exciting to be in this space, and other days it's crushingly overwhelming just thinking about the opportunities that are there. So long answer there, but making sure that we are keeping this company going and up with the times of where we're headed. And we'll kind of dig into how this industry has changed.
Sure. But, well, I mean, it's changed tremendously. Yeah. I mean, if I go back and think about focus groups, and yes, people still do focus groups.
Yes.
I personally,
yes,
I've probably done about 150 plus.
Yeah.
But I haven't done one in years.
Yep.
It's been interesting in the last several years. What my qual has all been phone calls,
one-on-one
interviews, and what a big switch.
Huge.
It's been amazing. So the next question I want to ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given, if it's different?
Okay. I was thinking, you know, I worked in before the family business. So the rule in our family business also is that we had to work somewhere else before we could work in the family business, which I think is brilliant.
Yep.
So I worked at HSBC Auto Finance. So I was in the subprime, non-prime auto space, and then at Home Depot, HD Supply on the B2B side. And the best advice that I got from the very beginning was, remember who your customers are. So as a girl in San Diego, starting out working in my cubicle down there, and I started on the creative side of marketing before I got into this side, was as we were putting out these creative marketing campaigns, my boss at the time, Deb, and then Cherish, my second one, always honed on of who are we talking to? Remember who we're talking to, right? As I'm putting out four-page flyers about ice melt to send to janitors and maintenance guys out in the Midwest, or a hurricane flyer preparedness. I had no idea, literally, from being born and raised here in Orange County, what ice melt was, what it meant to be in a hurricane, who these guys were. So remembering who our customers were and what really mattered to them, right? As I'm putting together my marketing campaign, I can't figure out what made sense to me and what attracted to me. It was who was my customer. So we were always, we were out at the NADA show talking to the guys. We were out at the auto dealerships with the F&I guys, talking to them about what challenges they were facing, what was going on in their world. We actually, I always had a, sounds like a teenage girl crush or whatnot, but I had a picture of a maintenance guy up in my cubicle.
Okay, we won't.
So I know, which is sounds silly, but up in my wall there to remember who the customer was and what I was creating this for. So I think that a lot of times that we forget. So my best advice that I received was always remember who the customer was and remember who we're actually talking to. It wasn't just sitting in the office.
Sure.
Coming up with ideas, yeah,
talking to ourselves really, and I actually talk a lot about that when I talk to customers is. You know, the question is, well, do we know who your customers? And they're like,
we know
there are job titles. Well, that's not knowing your customer.
Yeah.
You know, what's their journey? How do they like information? Who makes the buying decisions? Are they making the evaluation decisions and the buying decisions, or is there somebody else?
Right.
And so I am firmly believing in what you're saying, that a business has to understand and really dig in to know that customer.
Yep.
And beyond having the salespeople, you know, ask a few questions,
yeah.
And I like your story about the picture of the maintenance man, because I think, you know, I'm from the advertising world originally, and we used to create pictures, if you will, of what our customers looked like and who they were. So early days of personas, and now it's much more involved. So when you're talking to your customers, and let's say to the audience, we'll speak to the audience today about how do they get that information. I mean, there's lots of different research techniques. But really digging into understanding what's going to motivate that customer to make a decision.
Right. That's a big question.
It is a huge question. It's like a 2-minute long question.
Well, I know. But I mean, I think that the exciting time now for me is that there are so many additional ways to be able to connect with our customers, right? And to really, and or prospects of who's out there. So I think that before, you know, do we send out a survey or do a focus group or, you know, a paper survey, whatever that is, to get feedback from them. I was chatting with someone the other day and saying, our customers are talking to us all the time, regardless if they're actually talking to us one-on-one. So there are ways that of social listening and what's going out there and what are they talking about that way? What are they clicking on your website? So our business too is on the data analytics side, leveraging data that companies have, as well as on the customer insight part. So one, how do we listen to our customers? It's watching the activities that they're doing, right?
Okay, yeah.
Out there. Two, then, how do we authentically connect with them in a way that they want to be connected with? So how do we get into understanding who they are and watching their activity with us? What are they buying? What are they researching? What are they doing? And start intercepting some of those patterns where they want to be communicating with. This doesn't need to be I'm going to send a survey and disrupt your day that's just going to get ignored.
Sure.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you're making an interesting point, too, because there is so much data internally.
Oh, my gosh.
And a way to listen. And a lot of companies do not leverage it. I was working with a financial institution about 2 years ago, and that was in the credit card processing space. Yep. And so we were always concerned about churn.
Yep.
And so we said, well, why don't we start, you know, analyzing and set up a predictive model within customer service?
Yes.
Let's find the data points that'll predict when our retailers are going to fire us. And unfortunately, they weren't collecting the information. Some people input it free form into Word. Some
terrible.
People
How
wrote
many
it
ways
on,
can you spell California?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
mind-boggling.
All that stuff. And so there's... In some of my presentations, when I talk about research, I tell my audience, there are so many different ways, inexpensive ways. We're going to talk about more expensive ways in a second, but inexpensive ways to collect information. But not only collect it, but do something with it. And I think that's the other side of the coin that we talk about and we run into is how do you get all this great information and then have it sit on the shelf and collect dust? What are the kind of motivators that you would recommend for a listener if you're actually doing research and gathering that information? How do you implement it? How do you put it to use?
I think one of the big things that we've been trying now, because there is so much information that's available right now to companies, I chatted with a guy the other day and he said, Jenny, it's not necessarily about collecting additional data. It's trying to manage the fire hose of data that's coming at me. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, I'm just going to turn away and it's easier to make a gut decision as opposed to deal with all that. One of the biggest, mistakes that I see companies do when they, dive into a research project and or decide, okay, we get the data, it makes sense to utilize data, and we're going to dive in, right? And we're just going to start analyzing it. A lot of times I'll ask, well, what is it that you're, how are the results going to be used? Mm-hmm. What problem are we solving? What does success look like? What are you looking for when you're in there? Because if not, you're just swimming around in a whole bunch of data mm-hmm. thinking, oh, I don't know, I think I'll find the golden nugget in here somewhere. What are they even looking for, right? So if we can figure out how are the results going to be used, that's why I love partnering with, you know, either creative agencies, if we're going to use the results of this research project for a new marketing campaign. Awesome. Right. Then we can start backing into, then what do we need to know about them? What's going on? What should we be looking for? Or in your example, if you want to know what is a predictor of churn, and because we want to reduce the number of defaults or whatever it is, then we know exactly what we're looking for. And then when we're down the path, it makes it a lot easier than just because having a fantastic team of analysts on my staff, and I know my dad even starting the company, they will dig for days in data and research and kind of digging around. But then when asking the question of what are we looking for sure. or what problem are we trying to solve, sometimes that goes awry. So I would for sure make sure of any project that you're starting of, what problem are we solving for? What does success look like? And what are we actually trying to accomplish with this project?
Do you find that when companies come to you and think about market research, that they have a preconceived idea, but they don't really understand that every question has to yield something that's actionable? And that's one of the things that I always looked at is, yeah. you know, the nice to know is just nice to know. It doesn't do anything. I can't do crosstabs. I can't put it in any kind of segmentation analysis. It's useless. And so I think to your point is, what is the path? What is the direction? And pre-planning that out yep. is going to make whatever you do more efficient. Garbage in, garbage out. If we don't collect the right information, we're just going to end up a lot of junk, yeah. to your point. Swimming in a sea of data that is useless.
Gosh. Well, and it's just too much. And then when you bring up the next idea of, hey, we should do a research project, they're like, you know, we already have all of this. It's sitting on the shelf that we're not using. But I think the same way with a marketing campaign. If you do an ad hoc marketing campaign, right? If I decide, hey, I'm going to do a campaign and we're going to put out an ad on Facebook, it has nothing to do with any sort of campaign that McKinsey is coming up with or what we're doing. It's just an ad hoc campaign over here. It is not going to be as successful unless it's part of an overarching mm-hmm. strategy and campaign. The same thing is with research and analytics. There needs to be an overarching research strategy of what we're trying to collect here, because I think there's sometimes these ad hoc projects that go on. A project happens, you get budget for it, so everyone's excited. Then it's like, oh, well, we're already reaching out to the customers. Let's just throw every question that we have yeah. in here because we got the budget approved, which is a terrible idea, as opposed to being clear and concise of where this fits in the touch points with your customers, the relationship with you, or what you're trying to do. So I think that sometimes people do not look at research and how it lines up with marketing in general, and the fact that you need to have an overarching research strategy the same way that you would with a marketing strategy to your customers.
Sure.
And when I start saying, you know, the same way an ad hoc campaign isn't going to work, and ad hoc research, it's just going to be
over
here.
They're just
the
one-offs. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it could solve the should it be blue or pink kind of question, I guess.
And it really depends.
Yes.
It's like going to church with you. I mean, praise. I love this conversation. Yeah. Somebody, a kindred spirit, understands yes. all the stuff that we're talking yes. about. So let me ask you about a story. Give me a story. We're storytellers,
yes.
right? We're going to tell stories with
yeah.
data.
Yeah.
So give me a story about a client that you did some work for that, in this case, they knew what to do with the data.
Yeah.
And what kind of insights did it yield, and how did they apply it?
So we do a lot, and I guess just to back up too, we do a lot in the power sports world, professional sports, Orange County lifestyle, nonprofits, industries that we mm-hmm. work in. Typically, we're working with clients that have a larger purchase, right? Where then, and it comes back to your question here, but when companies spend a lot of time, money, and effort getting their customers, right? And they spend all this money in their branding and their marketing. And then at the end, then they say, hey, we should reach out to them. And then there's no branding, no marketing. It's a huge pet peeve of mine. It doesn't make any sort of sense. So we then love working with companies that honor the branding, marketing, whatnot, that then is being pulled into the research that comes through, right? Mm-hmm. So we were working with one client, and they had come up with a new technology that was innovating this industry. And the industry was a little bit old school about what they had going on, and they were so excited. They came up with their marketing campaign. They're going to innovate the industry. They're going to change the way business is done. And it was a fantastic technology, fantastic platform that is and probably has changed the way industry is done. So they went out and they put out their marketing to this segment, and it did not go over very well. They came back and we did some research with their end consumers, an internal team, to talk about what was going on. And they said, listen, we think that your technology is perfectly fine, but you guys are coming in here as a new player. We know this industry. We've been doing it for a really long time. We want to be part of the conversation. We don't need you to come in and tell us that yours is better and that what we've been doing for 30 years is not working. And so we figured out what actually their... they were looking for somebody to partner with them to honor what they had been doing. They wanted to be still in control of the business that they were in, and this was giving them a tool to give them the power to still be in control of their own industry. So we changed the verbiage. We didn't change the technology of what it was. It was changing them the verbiage to be honoring the customer of where they were and what was going on, as opposed to talking at them that we knew better than them. Sure. We knew what was going on.
Well, you knew that was going to fail right off the bat, right?
Well, I knew that it was going to fail out the bat. But I think that companies do that. They get so excited, as they should, about these new technology and new platform, and they just want to tout the benefits and the features and how it's going to revolutionize the world, mm-hmm. without then coming in and saying, do you know that these people are business owners that have been running their own business and doing these things, and how can we connect with them?
Sure.
And it was wildly successful afterwards and exciting to see the adoption rate after of changing the message slightly because we honored their end consumer about who was purchasing their product.
Right. You know, it's interesting what you just said. Again, we've talked, and I was in the action sports industry for a long time, and I remember the very first time I presented data.
Yeah.
It was about 300 to 500 of the industry, all the endemic, sitting in this room.
Yeah.
And here I was about to tell them about all the industry data about how their industry really was. And they all were all lined up, arms folded, scowling at me. There was no way they were going to
know better than them.
Yeah, no way they were going to listen.
Yeah.
And so I've been there and done that. And it takes a while to readjust that message. And in my mistake, if there was a mistake, that was the first one I made in a long time, ladies and gentlemen. But is I never actually talked to them. I got all the consumer data, but I actually never went and talked to my potential customers about what they really wanted and liked. And so it took a little while to make some adjustments, and then everything went off pretty good after that. Go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to say, and knowing what they're, I think you had mentioned before, do some people come in with preconceived notions of mm-hmm. what they think the research will be?
Right.
I do definitely love when I'm working with someone and we're kicking off a project, say, what do you think the answer is? What is your hypothesis? So that we can come in and either prove it, disprove it, whatnot. Because, you know, I want to make sure that when we come in, that we know exactly where the company has already, what research they already have done, one, what data they're already sitting in, and where we're coming in.
Sure.
So then are we disproving? Are we proving? What is it that we're actually trying to do here? Because why, I don't want to be set up either one. And I'm not coming in to then say what you're doing is wrong or right. I tell my team all the time, our goal is to make sure that they're successful, right? I mean, exactly. We are reducing risk in decision-making. So if a marketing team is putting out a marketing campaign, I want to reduce the risk that is not going to fail. We want to give them as much information as possible so that it's successful. I mean, that is our job.
Right.
As we go in, is to make things as successful as possible. It's an insurance policy of making sure their campaigns are going to work.
Yeah, I always talk about market research provides information mm-hmm. so the audience, the marketing director, can make intelligent decisions. It doesn't tell you what to do.
Yeah.
It really gives you that guidance. But what's telling us in this case, and I'm starting to look at my time, believe it or not, we're cruising along here.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's talk a little bit about AI,
yep.
prescriptive, predictive analytics, machine learning, and the impact that is having on not only the market research industry, but also how
general
businesses can gather data, utilize data.
It's an exciting, and how I said at the beginning, it's crushingly overwhelming to try and keep up in this world. I think it is such a powerful, exciting tools that can be used right now. I think that a lot of times, five years ago, when big data was the big thing, mm-hmm. right? Of everybody, what should we be doing with big data? Big data, everyone would come up and I said, do you know where your customers are right now? Do you know where they came from? And they said, no. I said, you shouldn't talk about big data.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about little data. Not that we shouldn't worry about that, you know? There are tools that can be used that can automate some of the processes and procedures that our team is using. I love predictive analytics. When I talk to my friends and I'll say, they ask what I do and we talk about it or predictive and they say, well, I don't know what that means. I say, you know, in Amazon, when it says, because you bought this, you like this, and they pop up at the bottom. I think that there's fantastic tools that companies can be using to do that. What I worry about is that being so reliant on tools that will be predictive, doing all of that and removing the customer and actually communicating with the customer of why they actually did what they did.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that we use these tools because why not? I mean, if I was in college right now, I would not be looking for a job that could be outsourced or automated.
Yep.
I mean,
it
is happening so fast. I want to be on the part of interpreting what that data means 100%. And I want to make sure, though, that I think people, customers, prospects, in this world that we're in, are so hungry to have their voices heard. And I'm on this soapbox and my team will laugh. Last year, I think there were 40 billion surveys sent out, which is mind-boggling with these tools, of these DIY tools and sending things out. Mm-hmm. Response rates are down. Because there are so many surveys that are going out, the companies that will get ahead and set themselves apart are the ones that can authentically connect with their customers, honor them, create a two-way conversation with them, ask for their input for what their experience needs to be, what products they want, what's happening there. So I think that we should leverage AI, leverage these tools to ask more informed, intelligent questions to our customers. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that we don't lose the one-on-one connection because that's where brands will continue to succeed. I know that was a roundabout question I think everyone gets very excited about the exciting new tools and technologies that are out there and used appropriately. They're fantastic. Yes.
And that's the key, appropriately,
yes.
right?
yeah.
And so we're, believe it or not.
How are we out of time?
We're out of time.
I can talk for days.
We're out of time. How much time do I have there, Paul? 1 or 2 minutes. So let's... Well, a lot of great information, and I'm afraid to ask another question because they're going to start yelling at me here.
Yes.
So why don't we start to wind this down?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk to tell the audience how they can reach you and find out more about what you guys do?
Yeah, so we are McKenzieCorp.com and McKenzieCorp.com, McKenzieCorp.com, on LinkedIn and social and all those types of things. I'm on LinkedIn, Jenny Dinnan. And obviously very, being born and raised here in Orange County in a family business, we love being here and working with companies here in Orange County.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation at another time because I am a true believer in the utilization of market research. And my goal is to convince everybody to utilize research. Well, let me say thank you to the audience and thank you to you today to joining us at the cafe. You can find out more about me and read my blogs, review my show videos at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is in need of a CMO, but mm-hmm. you're not ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And make sure you subscribe to the Business Growth Cafe. It can be delivered every week on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and many other platforms around the world. And by the way, I say that because about 28% of my shows are downloaded in other countries outside of the United States.
Congrats.
Come on, U.S., pick it up, pick it up. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.